Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
for His Glory Ministry. We welcome you to our ministry, which purpose is to see Jesus. Sir, we wish to see Jesus, John 12:21. That's our purpose, to help you see Jesus more clearly, love Him more dearly, and worship Him more sincerely, in spirit and in truth. Today we are teaching on the deity of Jesus Christ. It is a continuing series, and we are approaching this now with this particular lesson today on the divine titles. And I want to show you that they are shared titles both by God Himself, Yahweh, and Jesus, or in Hebrew we say, Yeshua.
Yeshua, yes.
That these titles are shared titles, which will draw you inexorably to the conclusion that Jesus must be God. First, in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 12, that's in the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, verse 12, God is a speaker. Listen to me, O Jacob, my called. I am He. I am the first. I am also the last. In this particular verse, I want to focus your attention on one of the divine titles of God Himself. I am the first. I am also the last. So the core of that is, I am the first, I am the last. He is the first. There are not two firsts. That would be an internal contradiction. The last. There are not two lasts. There's one first and one last, one beginning, one end. Now this is written by Isaiah the prophet, recorded as the word of God, in the word of God, the Holy Bible, sacred scriptures. Listen now to several New Testament references in the book of Revelation, and these divine titles that you had just heard, focusing on which one are we doing first? I am the first and I am the last. These are spoken of or about Jesus, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, starting in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. That's the last book of the Holy Bible, Revelation 1:8, and Danielle is going to read it for us all.
I am the Aleph and the Tav, says the Lord God, the one who is, and the one who was, and the one coming, the Almighty.
Beautiful. I am the Aleph and the Tav. You may be more used to hearing that with its Greek translation, if I'm the Alpha and the Omega. That is Greek, but Jesus was a Jew in the days of His flesh. It would be more appropriate to say, I am the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last. So you see that same divine title applied to Yeshua Himself. Let's look at another one. That was Revelation 1:8. I'll do Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. This is in the letters chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, written to the seven churches. And to the messenger of the church at Smyrna write thou, these things says the first and the last, who became dead and lived, as in lived again. Did you hear that title again? I'm the first and the
last.
The first and the last. But wait a minute, that's exactly what God spoke about Himself in Isaiah 48:12. Mm-hmm. Listen to me, O Jacob, my called. I am He. Ani hu. I am the first. I am also the last. This same title is now applied to Jesus, who, if He was not God, would be blasphemy. Remember what a title connoted, a title or a name or an attribute? Is this going to describe something about God? This is a divine title that's applied to God Himself. Let's look at another one in the New Testament, Revelation 22:13.
I am the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
Did you hear that? Read it again for us all, Danielle. Revelation 22:13.
I am the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
Perfect. You heard that term, the first and the last? This is applied by God Himself to Himself. This is applied by Yeshua to Himself. It thus draws you to understand there are not two firsts, there are not two lasts. There's one first and last. the title that God, Yahweh himself, God's personal covenantal name, as applied to himself, Yahweh, he applies this title, the first and the last, never used of a human being solely. However, used of God, man, God in the flesh, Yeshua, which is Hebrew for Jesus, applied clearly and several times to himself. Let's look at a few others. The next one we're going to do deals with the term Redeemer. And I'll read from Isaiah 54, verse 5. That's in Isaiah 54, verse 5, chapter 54, verse 5. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of the armies is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the earth. Wow. Now, what was the key term we're focusing on? A number of titles here. The Lord is your husband, one. The Lord, many of your translations will say the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. Yahweh Tzvaot, that's not a real definitive translation. Tzvaot comes from Tzava, meaning army. So Tzvaot means armies or legions. So your commander-in-chief is commanding, and that's the position and post he wants to be viewed at and seen as. Therefore, the Lord of the armies is his name. And your Redeemer, from the root Goel, is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the earth. Amen. Go to the New Testament, and we'll see this act of redemption played out first looking at Acts chapter 20, verse 28, and this is applied to Yeshua, to Jesus. Danielle will read for us.
Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchases with his own blood.
Which he purchases with
his own blood.
Own blood.
Yes.
That's, wait a minute, God's blood, and he purchased it with his own blood. The church, which is not a building, it is people. And God has purchased, he has redeemed this group, the church of God. He's paid for all. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He paid for us all, those who come out of the world and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and confess that God, first, you know, you confess with your mouth, you speak that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then you come to realize at the same time that God, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, this ensures your salvation. And then the precious Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, comes and not only is with you, but dwells in you. And he will guide you into all the truth. And there's an anointing on your life which abides. And the anointing will teach you all things. So much more there. But here we recognize that those that accept and prayerfully, all of you, that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, and you open your heart to give him your life and let him rule your life, and God is the one you want ruling your life, not people or opinions or things that will color your thinking along the way. You want pure truth, pure life, without strife, and all that's right. Now, Ephesians 1:7, New Testament, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption. What is the concept we're dealing here with these divine titles? Redeemer. Redemption. Purchased. But in Isaiah 54:5, it said that God is your Redeemer. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. What happened in Acts here? We said God purchased the church. To show the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. When was he ever pierced? There's a verse in Zechariah 12:10. It says, and they will look upon him whom they have pierced and mourn for him as for an only. Actually, it usually says an only son, but that's not the right translation. It's hayachid, meaning the only one. When was God ever pierced? They'll look upon him whom they have pierced and mourn for, right? They'll look upon me, rather, whom they have pierced, and mourn for him, not the first and third person changes,
mm-hmm.
they'll look upon me, God is the speaker, Zechariah 12:10, whom they have pierced, and mourn for him, as for the only one, Hayachid. And interestingly, the term Hayachid, the only one, is never used of God himself, meaning God himself, the transcendent being himself. God always calls himself Echad, which translates one, also one where there is another. If God wanted to say that he is the only one, meaning there's only one distinction within God, like God the Father and no other, the term Yachid, Y-A-C-H-I-D, would have been used, Y-A-C-H-I-D, Yachid. God never uses that, but he uses it with regard to the Son, that he's the only one. They look upon me whom they pierced and mourn for him as for the only one. So when was God ever pierced? Depending on who you read, about 30 to 33 A.D. on a wooden cross. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's look at another. We've covered two titles here, haven't we?
Yes.
Which ones? We've covered that what happens first. We took a look at I am the first and the last. And we see divine titles applied both to Yahweh and Yeshua.
Yes.
Then we looked at
Redeemer
applied both to God himself and to God himself, if you will, God in the flesh. Let's look at another one dealing with forgiveness.
Yes.
Perfect. Now, first we'll look at the divine titles of Yahweh and then see how they're applied to God in the flesh, Yeshua, or Jesus. First we'll go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 9, and Danielle will read for us.
To the Lord belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him.
This is a great prayer of confession by Daniel in supplication before the Lord. And it says, to the Lord belong mercy and forgiveness. It is only in the power of God to forgive, to absolve totally. Then we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 21, in the prayer of Solomon, 2 Chronicles 6:21.
Listen to the supplications of your servant and of your people, Israel, which they shall make towards this place. Hear from your dwelling place, from heaven, and when you hear, forgive.
Amen. And what does Solomon do in his supplicatory prayer as a dedication over the temple that was being built, that was built now, just completed in Jerusalem, is in Eretz Israel, in the land of Israel? They petition God to forgive. No one else can. Where else would you go? Now, interesting, you're going to go to Mark 2, and I'll just give you some references here. Mark 2, 1 to 12, that's in the New Testament. And you go to the book of Mark, and you have a setting here where you have someone who is physically paralyzed. And the Lord is there, and you find that he tells the person that your sins are forgiven. And some of the scribes are sitting there saying in his heart, why does this speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So they knew. The common thinking was, which Danielle has been reading you with me all along here today, only God forgives sins, only to God can you go to for forgiveness of sins. And there's all types of sins, people, not just murder, but murdering someone's dream. Not just physically beating someone up, but by stepping on their heart or crushing their feelings, a dream, an idea. You form many idols, not just merely with your hands and carving, but idols of giving other people and issues the time and attention that rightfully is God's alone. And put what they say and take what they say with such high value beyond God. You put them ahead of God. That's making a man or a situation or anyone, on TV and off, any human being, an idol in which you will give time and attention and affection instead of God. Mm-hmm. Now, God may use them to speak to you and to speak through them to you, but we're not to look to them, but we're to look through them to God. It's a subtle but very clear distinction, and we should never miss it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So God is the forgiver. In Mark 2 in the New Testament we are, and Jesus perceiving their thoughts and tells him, what's easier to do? Tell this man, your sins are forgiven, or take up your mallet and walk. But he said, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. Rise, take up your mallet and walk. And he's healed. And he didn't me only, he far from just said, oh no, forgive. He said, now, yeah, I know only God can forgive sin. Watch what I do. And he went all the more. In Acts 26, 15 to 18, that's where in the New Testament, Acts, this is the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, 15 to 18, we find another reference dealing with what? What are we dealing with here as a topic on this portion? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And as you read it through carefully, you see Paul is there and he's speaking to the Lord. This is with his encounter with the Lord. And he says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord says, I am Yeshua, who you are persecuting. And he continues down to 18 and tells them the purpose, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. And an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is one of the keys. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Without forgiveness, we are going to stay in our sin, in our sickness, in our guilt, and in our shame. So where do we go for forgiveness?
To Yeshua.
To Yeshua, who is?
God.
Amen. Let's look at another reference. Colossians 2. 13 and 14, that's in the New Testament, the book of Colossians, that deals primarily with the preeminence of Christ himself. That's an overarching theme of the book. And when you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him. Here it comes. Having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Yes, praise God.
So God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. That's wonderful. People, after God has forgiven you, and I'm speaking to people who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord first here, because this really pertains to you only. After God has forgiven you, you need to forgive you. There are many people that have committed sins of all varying types, as we all have, and have not gone to God for forgiveness. But those, even when they have, and God has promised to forgive them their sin, they walk around still with elements of self-condemnation, shame, guilt, and now they're at odds with God, because God says, I forgave you all your transgressions, all of them. It says, having forgiven us, that's us, put your name in there, us, all, ours, all of them. This is a complete God. He does everything perfect, complete. Who forgives?
God does. Yeshua does.
God forgives or Yeshua forgives?
Yeshua is God.
Who can forgive sins but?
God.
Yes, so when Yeshua says, I forgive. What did the Jews rightly understand him to be saying at the time in Mark 2, we're at?
That he was God.
Yes. They understood him. That's why they said he's blaspheming, because only God can forgive sins. That's not to be escaped from one's thinking. Let's look at the next divine title, which really begins to put a very solid mark on who Jesus is. You are in Malachi, which is in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 6a. And A is just kind of a scholarly notation. It means like A, B, C, D, the first part of the verse, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, depending on how the verse is divided up with commas or clauses. So, Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, first part, or A. Danielle is reading.
For I am the Lord, I do not change.
Ooh, Read that again, please.
For I am the Lord, I do not change.
What does it mean to change? To change would be to be subject to time, to events, and to change deals with something that's going to be more of a temporal nature in which time comes into play. Therefore, when you see that we are in this factor and God says, I do not change, you have to, by implication, say, He is not subject to
time
at all,
right.
Period. Whether we're aware of the watch or not, time does affect us, and we are within the domain of time-space as a fourth dimension of our universe that we presently live in. God says, for I am the Lord. I do not change. But when we come to the New Testament, isn't it interesting that in the book of Jacob, which in many translations will say James, but it's really Jacob, that's an English translation would be James, but the first century, and in Hebrew from Yaakov or Yaakobas, in the Hebrew and Greek respectively, it is Jacob. So the book of Jacob, or in your Bible, some of them, James, I would fix it if I were you. Chapter 1, verse 17, listen to this here. Every good thing and every perfect gift is coming down from above from the Father of lights, with whom change has no place or shadow of turning. I love this translation. It's more literal. I'm going to do it again. Every good, actually, here's the accurate translation. I like to be as accurate as I can for you. It brings out shades of meaning that are often missed, and it will sharpen you up immediately. Instead of every good thing or every good gift, it says every good giving. Every good giving and every perfect gift is coming down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom change has no place, or shadow of turning. Change has no place. What did God say that Daniel read earlier for us in Malachi 3:6a?
For I am the Lord, I do not change.
In Jacob, or James 1:17, and the verse, with whom change has no place, or shadow of turning. Now, Danielle's going to read a powerful one, and listen to this. This is applied to Yeshua HaMashiach, to Jesus the Christ, to Jesus himself in the book of Hebrews 13, verse 8.
Yeshua HaMashiach, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
He doesn't change, does he?
No, he doesn't.
Let's remember that. He's God himself. Next title, the sound of many waters that's applied both to God and to Yeshua. Both to God and to Yeshua. Ezekiel 43:2. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. But look at Revelation 1:15.
His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters.
Both Yahweh and Yeshua had the voice as a sound of many waters. Now light is a divine quality, Psalm 27:1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I be in terror? But in John 1:4-9, in him was life, and a life was the light of men. It was the true light which enlightens every man coming into the world. And then John 8:12, again. Again, therefore, Yeshua spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. The one following me will by no means walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. God is our light, and Yeshua is our light. What about Savior? Isaiah 43:11. I myself am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Joel 2:32, which if you read in Hebrew, a Hebrew Bible is chapter 3, verse 5. Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the remnant, those who the Lord shall call. But Titus 2:13, in the New Testament, expecting the blessed hope and appearance of the great God and Savior of us, Messiah Yeshua, Christ Jesus. Luke 2:11.
Because was born to you today in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
And in Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This passage is quoted in the context of calling upon Jesus Christ for salvation in the New Testament. People, there's a lot there and there's a lot more. Jesus Christ is God, God manifest. Amen.